Ich möchte einige
I would like to
Bibelstellen
read a few
lesen
scriptures
im Glauben daran,
in the
dass
belief
Gott
that
selbst
God Himself
durch sein Wort zu
speaks
uns
to us
redet.
through His Word.
Sein Wort ist ja
His Word
lebendig.
Is alive.
Es ist
It is powerful.
Es gilt noch
It is
heute.
Still valid today.
Und möge es dem Herrn gelingen,
And may the Lord succeed
in das Gespräch
in drawing
mit
us into the conversation.
Dass nicht nur
So that not only does he speak to us, but we also engage with this word of God, listen carefully, and give him the answer that has arisen in our hearts from his word. And may it be so that we are all here to truly listen. I am aware that we come from different countries, churches, perhaps even different traditions. But there is one thing we can all have in common, and that is God's Word and what God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the four Gospels, we find a description of what happened on this day that we are commemorating today. It is simply that God reconciled mankind to himself in Christ, as Paul says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And we will read a few more scriptures in a moment to show us why God chose this path, walked it himself, and still walks it with humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. This great gift of God must be accepted, not just held to be right or true, affirmed with a mind. It must become a direct experience with God in your life. It must penetrate and reach our hearts. and the word of the sermon should serve to ensure that faith in the accomplished work of redemption can be worked by the Holy Spirit. I would like to continue reading and let God's word speak to us from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and please let us all pay attention that we take in every word and let it speak to us. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He has not only promised, he has fulfilled his promise. He has made it come true. From Genesis 3:15 to Malachi 3 verse 1, we have promises throughout the Old Testament. God has made them come true. We have been redeemed. Anyone who is still lost today bears the blame themselves. God does not bear it. And I will tell you why. Because the Lamb of God bore our guilt and sin. The fall of the first Adam has been redeemed by the second Adam. What fell at that time has been raised up. What was lost has been saved. God made children of men into children of God. It is no longer up to him, only up to us. We have read that this new living way was consecrated for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of this. On the contrary, we are grateful to God. And if, on the one hand, we feel a moment of sadness about this, perhaps even sorrow, depending on how the Spirit of God works in us, sadness and sorrow that the Lord had to walk this path, the path via Gethsemane to Golgotha. Let us be honest. How do we feel when we read what is written in the four Gospels? They spat on our Lord, mocked him, made fun of him, and did to him what would not have been possible to do to any other human being. No one else has ever been treated or subjected to what our Lord was subjected to. And he was the Lamb of God, who did not open his mouth, like a sheep before its shearer remains silent and gives everything it has. So it was with the Lamb of God. Our Lord became our Savior, and for that we are grateful. Look, it is simply this. Because God created human beings fallible, He Himself had to take responsibility for the human beings who had fallen. Have we understood that? We will briefly elaborate on this thought. It is important that we allow ourselves to be included in what God has in mind for mankind. For He has not only a temporal plan, but an eternal one. Before we continue reading, I would like to highlight verse 22 from Hebrews 10. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Let us, a call to action, not that we should just sit and listen. Let us set out to truly encounter the Lord. Let us set out to believe in Him with all our hearts and receive what He has prepared for us. Psalm 50 still applies today, that we are gathered before the face of God. Gather my saints together unto me. We have come together as the people of God to experience the Lord anew. God has given salvation, reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and complete redemption to all mankind on Golgotha through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look, it is thus. The distress did not begin on earth. It began in heaven when Lucifer rebelled and thought to himself, I will make myself like the Most High. I will ascend. I will dwell on the mountain of God. You all know the scriptures. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 14, and Ezekiel 28, you know that there was already someone who fell before Adam, the great fall of Lucifer. And this enemy of God, this declared enemy of God, was not satisfied with rebelling in heaven and then being cast down with his followers. He also wanted to bring man, whom God had created in his image, over to his side here on earth. And he influenced him and thus drew him under his spell and into death and destruction. But as I said earlier, because God created man in such a way that he could fall, he had to ensure that this fallen man would be raised up again. And God did take care of that. The fall has indeed been made good. I will read from Genesis chapter 3, so that we may understand it better. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, and perhaps also 24. Genesis 3, 22 to 24. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. A situation had arisen. Man had sinned, fallen under Satan's spell. And if he had eaten from the tree of life in his sinful state, he would have lived in sin forever, separated from God. That could not be. That cannot be. And so we read in the next verse, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man was not allowed to eat from the tree of life in his fallen state. Only through redemption, as we shall see, only then do we have a share in the tree of life, which stands in the midst of God's paradise. Access is blocked here on the one hand. Those who wish to read about it in Luke 23:43 can do so. For there the door has been opened, the way has been cleared, and redeemed man could enter paradise. Luke 23:43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. At that time, driven out of paradise, out of the Garden of Eden, without grace and mercy. And here, after grace and mercy were revealed on Golgotha, the way has been cleared, and the first man could enter paradise. While Jesus was still hanging on the cross, from the very moment when redemption took place, from that moment on, the door is open. We can enter paradise again. That is the new living way. Look, back then, do not eat from the tree of life. But now we have a share in the tree of life. I would like to read Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. In a church age message, it is written, Revelation 2, verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. As already emphasized and highlighted, access was blocked there, but opened through Golgotha. And we have a hope that transcends death and the temporal, and we will be with the Lord for eternity. I would like to continue reading from Genesis 3 to elaborate on this a little further and to show us what happened and why our redemption became necessary. Genesis 3, verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Fallen man still feels the need to clothe himself. He does not want to be found naked before God. But we must understand that we cannot clothe ourselves with what we have at our disposal in order to enter into God's presence. More is needed for that. They took leaves from the fig tree. Whatever we take, everyone takes something and wants to clothe themselves. Be honest. Who wants to be found naked in front of another person? That is not possible. It would be a disgrace. And imagine, the Almighty God, in whose presence the first humans were, how were they to appear before Him? They wanted to help themselves. But then the Lord helped them. They were able to give up and let go of what they had done to themselves. And the Lord clothed them Himself. You all know it. Genesis 3, verse 21. We can read it here. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. What do we learn from this? What lesson is there in this? Man wants to help himself and clothe himself. God calls him, as it is written here, in the cool of the day, the Lord God walked in the garden. Today, this evening, the Lord comes into our midst. How does He see you? How does He see me? Have we clothed ourselves? Then we cannot enter into His presence. We must allow Him to clothe us. He took skins. Where did He get them? First, life had to be given so that the skins would be available to clothe the first humans. Thanks be to God that we are not found naked. It is written in Revelation, in chapter 3, the last church age message, you do not know that you are poor, wretched, and naked. I counsel thee. God gives us advice today not to appear before Him naked, nor with what we ourselves have found and put around us, but to actually let Him clothe us in the garments of salvation that He has prepared for us. Everything is provided. And I would like to read that to us from Revelation 3, verse 5. There it is written about clothing. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The person separated from God, fallen under the power of Satan, was redeemed, clothed in garments of salvation, and received new eternal life by the grace of God. Beloved, this is not just a promise that will come true someday. We already have eternal life. Those who do not have eternal life here will never have it there. Faith in Jesus Christ imparts eternal life. And Jesus said, whoever believes in me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. It is an effective thing, not a hope that we carry. The hope that we carry within us means that we will be transferred from the mortality of this body to the immortality of the body, namely when mortality will put on immortality and corruption will put on incorruption. But this concerns the outer shell, the body, not the soul. We already have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the true God and eternal life. Not only in eternity, but already here. Many scriptures could be read on this subject. Today is Good Friday. Two scriptures from the Old Testament bring home to us in a special way what happened on Calvary. Isaiah 53. And as Brother Rus has already read, Psalm 22. There is no other chapter in which so many statements can be found that were then fulfilled on Golgotha. Let me read very briefly from the prophet Isaiah. For we are here as redeemed, as reconciled with God, as pardoned, as people who can praise this grace that we have experienced. For God has truly done great things for us. And this evening must not pass unless God has done great things in many hearts. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, just a few verses. Verses 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We have already read part of it in the opening word. And I'm sure that everyone has read in a gospel what happened on that day at Golgotha, or rather almost 2,000 years ago. A man of sorrows, despised, but truly despised, shunned by people, no longer looking like a human being, a man of sorrows. And here's the point that we simply must emphasize, and please believe it. He felt and endured the pain of every illness that can exist on earth. He was a man of sorrows. He took on the illnesses and the effects, the pain of every illness from head to toe. He endured and bore the pain in his own body. A man of sorrows. He suffered. He died for us. He bore it so that we no longer need to bear it. Perhaps someone will now say, what about those who are growing older? Let me also make this clear. God has not promised us eternal youth in this body, Only with the resurrection will we be young and never grow old again. But here, all of us, whether believers or unbelievers, will bear these signs of aging. This has nothing to do with the availability of divine healing. I continue reading verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. People really thought, here God has unleashed his wrath. Here God is punishing. You know how quickly we can all be like that. When something happens somewhere, that is God's punishment. Something very bad is happening here. A man who had done nothing wrong is accused, beaten, tortured, he endures everything, and people shake their heads and consider him to be punished by God, struck by God, and afflicted by God, as it is written here. Were they completely wrong? He took our place. He had to atone for our sins. He had to bear our punishment. There was no other way. And that is why deep gratitude should rise from our hearts to God. Imagine if we had had to suffer all that, what would have become of us? And redemption would not yet have come. Here was suffering for sin and sickness, for the consequences of sin unto death, and then of course the overcoming of death and the victory of God, which then became apparent. It happened for our sake. Friends, especially those who have not yet accepted and received the Lord as Savior, may your spiritual eyes be fixed on this point of Golgotha, and may the Lord stand before us as the crucified one, as the one who was nailed to the cross by the hands of sinners, as we have read, his hands and feet pierced. It happened for our sake, so that we might go free. The debt is paid, the sin forgiven. He bore it all. The punishment was laid upon him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. That is redemption. You know that other religions cannot understand why in Christianity, and especially among true believers, this act of reconciliation through suffering and death is so highly praised by us. We know that we were lost without God and without hope in this world. And through Jesus Christ, we who were far off have become near. God has turned the curse into blessing. He has taken away our iniquity, not just yesterday and not just today. You can understand it today and believe it. But in reality, on that great day of God's reconciliation, the guilt of all humanity was taken from mankind and placed on the Lamb of God. There will be no second reconciliation, no second suffering and death, We can also read about this in several scriptures, in the Word of God. The curse, sin, destruction, death, everything was born by Him and thus taken from us. For a believer, death is only the transition from time to eternity. No one who has eternal life needs to worry about death. What did Jesus say in John 11? Verily I say unto you, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Why? Because we have received eternal life by grace. Curse turned into blessing. In Genesis 3, 17 and 18, the Lord God pronounced the curse. The ground from which man was taken was cursed. It would bear thorns and briars, and the field should be tilled in the sweat of one's brow. The term thorns in particular was used in connection with a curse. It shall bear thorns and briars, so that the whole world could see that the curse that came upon the earth had been taken away. He took the worst that could have been. He wore the crown of thorns. He took the curse upon himself. In the Old Testament, Exodus 3, it was when God appeared to the prophet. Where was the fire? In the wheat field? No, in the thorn bush. You can read about it. The Lord God came into the thorn bush. Moses was amazed that this fire did not consume the thorn bush. Our Lord knew exactly what he was doing. And if it was others who did it with him, the weaving of the crown of thorns, they could not have found anything worse. They placed the worst thing that the curse brought with it upon his head. And we are to receive the crown of eternal life. Beloved, anyone who thinks about what God has done for us in Christ must have a soft heart. They must come to the Lord. Please do not understand must as an obligation, but he is just drawn because of the divine love that has been revealed to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this faith is not just a faith, as one would believe in other religious founders, but a real faith that is according to Scripture. We have read that God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself. I would like to read a little further in Isaiah 53, from verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Did he do it? He did it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In verse 11, we are dealing with Gethsemane. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He has done it. You no longer need to bear your iniquities, no longer collapse under the burden. Our Lord has proclaimed, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." We need only come in faith, bow before God, and accept what He has prepared. Verse 12. Therefore, why? By bearing their iniquities. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It is worthwhile on this day and always to emphasize this great event of God's reconciliation with humanity. Is there any other way to God than God's way to us? Is there any other meeting place between humanity and God than the one where God met humanity? How often have we said, people seek God everywhere? Of course, we can see God's majesty, His omnipotence in the universe, but none of us can see so far that we have the universe before us. But where did God reveal Himself personally? His power, His creative power. He is Creator, Sustainer, He is everything. But He revealed Himself personally in Christ. Only He could say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Only He is, was, and remains Emmanuel, God with us. If you want to seek and find God, seek Him where He can be found. Not in a religion, not in a denomination, but truly in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Already in chapter 52 of the prophet Isaiah, we have been told a few things. I would like to read the last verses. Isaiah 52 from verse 13. Behold, my servant will succeed. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. He was successful. At Golgotha, it initially looked as if he had failed. He did not fail. He had to walk this path so that we would no longer have to walk it. He had to take upon himself what burdened us. oppressed us, separated us from God, condemned us. And you know what Scripture says. The wages of sin is death. He had to take everything upon himself. And as emphasized earlier, since God created man with free will, so that he could make wrong decisions, God had to take responsibility for his salvation. God's decision remained the same, and that is that he, the living God, will have sons and daughters for eternity, who carry his life within them and have his nature. We have already dealt with this point. Adam was created in the image of God, but he did not come forth from God. He did not have the nature of God, nor the life of God. God breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. With the second Adam, it was quite different. Only God could come forth from God, and Jesus Christ was none other than the Word made flesh. He was God revealed in human form. Everything brings forth after its kind, and God too can only bring forth after his kind. Children of men bring forth children of men, but God brings forth children of God. Why is it written, "Behold, I and the children which God has given me"? Have we not read it? "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." Did you all read it? "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." You all look as you haven't read the opening word. Shall I read it to you? What did you read, Brother Rus? Which chapter? We all read it, didn't we? And which verse? You all read it earlier, didn't you? Pardon? Verse 10? Yes, sir. Verse 10, of course. Psalm 22. Verse 10. Yes, it is you who laid me in my mother's womb. What was it? "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and the one who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Word became flesh. Oh, when we look at the Old Testament scriptures and then see their fulfillment in the New Testament, joy wells up within us. Sorrow that the Lord had to walk this path. Joy that he redeemed us. That he called us by name. And that we can truly be his own for time and eternity. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, the new divine offspring, the firstborn among many brethren. He suffered and died. He rose again and brought eternal life and immortality to light. As Holy Scripture teaches, coming back to Hebrews 10, this is the new living way. He passes through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and he suffered in the flesh. He was beaten, for in this flesh we have sinned. The punishment came upon him. He suffered and died. We read this in Isaiah 52. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I read today in a gospel that Simon of Cyrene carried the cross of our Lord. He could no longer bear it. He collapsed. The whole burden was too heavy. I say it again. It was not only written that way. He felt it all in his soul, in his spirit, in his body. He felt it so deeply. He suffered so that we could go free. This too will come to pass, that the nations will be amazed. What they were never told, they will then see, they will then hear. We have also read that every knee will bow before him. This too is written in Psalm 22, verse 30. All shall bow before him. Amen. You can read about it in Philippians and other places. God has said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And here we have read it. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. Every soul that sins shall die. But whoever understands that our Lord travailed in his anguish, so it says in Isaiah 53, verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He suffered in spirit, he suffered in soul, he suffered in body. Just as you and I suffer in the deepest pain, be it illness or separation from God. And I would like to ask this question. Who among you has ever consciously experienced an inner state of separation from God? Who among you has ever cried out with all your might, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" You may now ask, what is the point of that? If he did it, then that is enough. I do not know whether that will work out. Only those who truly feel their separation from God in such a way that an inner pain seizes and grips them, and they call out to the Lord, will be able to accept reconciliation with God. You know, in earlier years, people experienced true conversion, a repentance. The Spirit of God began to work, and it went so deep, that the convert understood, separated from God, damned, descending into hell. I will never forget it. God truly helped me in this. I was just 18 years old when it happened, and I actually saw hell below me, and the smoke was rising, and I was hanging over this abyss, and my strength was failing more and more. I was holding on with both hands, and any moment I would have fallen down. I looked down, my strength was dwindling, and then I cried out to the Lord, "I am lost. Save me." Beloved, we don't want to just look at things here and say, that happened there. We want what happened there to become a reality for us today. That we may experience God today as people who recognize that we are lost by nature or by our natural birth and separated from God, and that the cry of our soul is also sent up to the Lord, that we simply say, Lord, we see that it was necessary to go this way via Gethsemane to Golgotha to save me, for I am or was lost, whatever our condition may be. Whoever has already experienced the Lord does not need to lay the foundation a second time with repentance and turning away from dead works, as it says in Hebrews 6, but we can then move forward and leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. But those who have not yet experienced it can experience it today. Our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came as the Good Shepherd and laid down his life for the sheep. He was not a philosopher. He was not a founder of a religion. He was the Savior and is the Savior. He was the healer and is the healer. He gave his life, his blood, for our atonement. He will see his seed and prolong his days. What does that mean? We have already said, every seed brings forth after its kind. What does the one want? He wants God's seed. You can read it. It's written in the prophet. And here was the divine seed. He became manifest. And he did not remain alone. The grain of wheat fell into the ground and died. He said, unless it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It died. He died. He rose again. He lives. And you know what that means. He not only settled accounts with the past and with the old man who was born in sin and lived in it. Through his blood, he wiped out the entire past, paid off debts, forgave sins. But through his resurrection, he brought forth new life for us. The one belongs to the clearing away of the old man, the settling of debts and everything that goes with it, complete reconciliation with God, and then eternal life by the grace of our God. Beloved, what could be more important or better said on this day than that God in Christ reconciled mankind with himself, that he, as the second Adam, brought the new divine race into being, made us sons and daughters of God, and we want to thank him from the bottom of our hearts for this. Where would we have remained in eternity if he had not come into time to redeem us from destruction and crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies, as it says in Psalm 103, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has done it. He has redeemed our lives from destruction and crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Please accept it all as a gift from God. No one needs to be lost. As a songwriter sings, tell everyone here on earth, whoever wants to can be saved. Praise the Lord. Even tonight, whoever wants to experience the Lord tonight can do so. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have proclaimed Jesus Christ, the crucified one, and whoever beholds him on the cross in faith will be saved at that very hour, as the song goes. You do not need to wait until tomorrow. You do not know whether there will be a tomorrow for you or me or us. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. To him, our Lord and Savior, who took our place, took our iniquities upon himself, our sicknesses, our sin, even the punishment, the curse, everything he took upon himself and cried out our cry, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let us thank him today that we are no longer forsaken by God, but may be reconciled with God, no longer lost, but saved. He has made children of men into children of God. As a result of the travail of his soul, as my righteous servant, he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He has done it, even interceding for the transgressors. May we succeed today in penetrating in faith, taking God at his word and saying, Lord, we are here today. We have heard your word and we want to experience you. Just as it happened and was prepared for us there on Golgotha, so let us experience it today by grace with God. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing the chorus, Just As I Am.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Ich meine Mann, nur du allein, dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein. O Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Wir neigen alle die Hände. Let us all bow our heads, schließen die Augen, close our eyes, öffnen die Herzen, open our hearts, und suchen die Verbindung and seek connection with God in prayer. Beloved, I know that God has spoken to us through his word. Even if it was not proclaimed emphatically, the word has its own power. It is not the volume of the one who proclaims it that is important, but the reception in faith and the effect of faith in our lives. God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent to do. Today, we have heard his voice. Today, we want to come to him. He came to us, gave his life, so that we could come to him and receive eternal life. He made amends for the damage, the fall, and everything associated with it, the ruin, the punishment, death. He took it all upon himself, paid for it, defeated it, did everything for us. Whoever wants to can be saved and then praise the Lord. While all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, and hearts are open before God, tell me, can you pass by the Lord who stands before you and calls out to you today, I did this for you. I suffered for you. I bore your iniquity, took upon myself your pain, all suffering, separation from God. I took everything from you. Whoever comes to him will not be cast out, but may experience reconciliation with God. Let us sing the chorus once more, just as I am.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Es steht im Propheten
Jesaja, it is written in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 1, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thus has the Lord promised. And he says, I will blot out your sins like mist, and he has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Do not dwell on it any longer. He has taken it away from you. Believe it and accept it now as a gift from God while our heads are bowed. I would like to ask everyone who wants to dedicate their life to God to raise their hands. Let us pray together. Who would like to dedicate their life to the Lord? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Hands are going up everywhere. And not just hands, but hearts too. Just accept it. It has happened. Let us sing Glorious Golgotha.
Herrliches Golgatha, meine Sünd ist vergeben, meine Schuld ist bezahlt. Herrliches Golgatha, herrliches Golgatha, herrliches Golgatha, meine Sünd ist vergeben.
My sin is forgiven, my debt is paid. Glorious Golgotha. Surely there are still some hands that should be raised. You know that the Lord has spoken to you. It is not we who call. We do as Paul wrote. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Because we have been entrusted with a ministry of reconciliation, we do it. God's reconciliation with you will be of no use unless you agree to this covenant, say yes to it, consciously accept it for yourself and say, Lord, it was done for me. You have redeemed me. You have taken away my iniquity. You have forgiven my sins. You suffered for me. You have called me. I am coming now. While all heads remain bowed, let me ask one last time for tonight. Is there anyone else who feels that the Lord is calling? Just raise your hand. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Know this, you will leave here different from how you came. Burdened with guilt, weighed down, you can leave here joyful. When we think about how our Lord suffered and how we can now rejoice that He has redeemed us, what else can we do but thank Him most sincerely for His love He has shown to us? Lord our God, we thank You especially on this day for what happened at Golgotha. It doesn't get old. It retains its validity and its power. The blood of the Lamb still speaks for us today. Faithful Lord, You shed Your blood as the Lamb. As High Priest, You entered the heavenly sanctuary with this blood to offer it on the throne of grace. Together we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for this. Beloved Lord, the curse that You pronounced as Yahweh, You took upon Yourself as Jesus. Crowned with thorns, You died on the cross of Calvary. You bore our guilt and sin. We thank You for this, and we praise You, and we worship You. Hallelujah. To You, the Lamb of God, be thanks and honor. You have taken away the sin of the world. We thank You for this, beloved Lord. Now we bring to You all those who have raised their hands and come to You. Beloved Savior, You do not cast them out. No, Lord. You call not to reject again, but to receive. And Lord, to those who receive You, You give the power to become children of God, namely those who believe in Your name. Beloved Lord, tonight we believe in You with all our hearts, in Your word, in the salvation You have accomplished, in Your name. We believe with all our hearts and ask You, help our unbelief to depart, and let an atmosphere of faith arise here in which God can work miracles on soul, spirit, and body. Beloved Lord, confirm Thy word as true to us all for the glory and praise of Your name. I thank You for accepting all who have come to You. Beloved Lord, they are Yours, and no one will snatch them out of Your hand. Take them, Good Shepherd, and lead them to green pastures. To You, our Lord, be praise and honor, glory and worship, now and forever. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.